At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The Delphi murders, even if you've never dug into a single court document, you know the name. 2 kids on a hiking trail, a grainy cell phone video, a small Indiana town that will never be the same. And at the center of it all, a man named Richard Allen. In the headlines, it's all tied up with a bow. Arrest made, conviction secured, justice served. When you actually open up the box, the contents don't seem to match the label all that well. If you actually look at the contents of the box, this is a story about how someone can go from being the guy who raises his hand to help police to being pinned as the monster who committed one of the most disturbing crimes in recent history. And here's the thing. The bridge between those two realities isn't made of hard, irrefutable proof. It's built on a handful of shaky, big-ticket items, a bullet, a blurry video, and a set of confessions that sound a lot less convincing once you hear the context. If you've ever wondered how the wrong person gets locked in a murder investigation, this is your blueprint. It's not a single glaring error. It's a chain of small, questionable decisions. The tip that sat ignored for years, the match that's more science fiction than science, and a confession wrung out of a man after more than a year in conditions that would snap most people in half. Piece by piece, it adds up to a picture that doesn't quite look like justice. Before we go chasing alternate suspects, before we even touch the Ron Logans, the Keegan Kleins, and the Brad Holders of the world, we've got to strip back and ask, how did the state frame their case to the public? What did the jury actually see? And was it anywhere close to the full story? Because if the foundation is faulty, the whole house comes down. And in this case, the foundation looks like it was poured in wet cement and left half finished. So forget what you think you know from the headlines. Forget the sound bites. Let's go back to the beginning. To the moment Richard Allen was just another man in a stack of tips. He was one giving tips. And let's start with the question that matters most. Did the big 3 pieces of evidence hold water? Or were they just the only buckets the state had left to carry? Carol Hughes is joining me. Carol, you've just watched the documentary, the new one on Hulu, put out by ABC News. Seeing it laid out the way they presented it, bullet, bridge guy video and confessions. Did it actually look solid to you?
I'm one of those people who was familiar with the story, but I learned a lot from that. I thought the documentary was very well done.
Yeah, it was. And it really starts to give you, I think, a sense of what this case is all about. So it's worth watching. If you really want to go deep into it, just search Delphi Murders, or Delphi, really. Just do that search on our channel, on the podcast platform, or on YouTube, and you'll find a lot, hundreds of videos where we dive super deep into all of this. But you just got a chance to see it, so I'm really curious to kind of get your perspective, and this would probably align with the perspective of anybody out there who's just recently seen this as well, as to what your thoughts are on this from kind of a passive look. The case is big 3 here. We have the bullet, the Bridge Guy video, and the confessions. That's what the folks who believe Richard Allen did it always go back to. I'm curious, from your perspective, how strong are they?
You know, when I was watching the documentary, I kind of went back and forth several times. I was like, maybe he did it. Maybe that guy did it. Oh, there's another interesting theory. But I think that in part, he did not help himself by admitting that he was there. And the thing is that he might have admitted that, called it in, you know, saying, you know, I was there. Maybe I saw something.
Well, let me just, I don't want to even speculate on what he might have done. I want to tell you exactly what he did, so other people don't go and go, well, maybe he did that, because he didn't. So I'm going to stop you. I don't want to mean to be rude or anything, but I'm going to stop you on any speculation that I know is just false.
No, you know way more about this case
than me. Because that's how a lot of people think about this thing. Well, maybe let's just stop it there. So people, and one doesn't just think that, because there's so many mistruths about that. At the very beginning of this, yes, he was out hiking there that day. His wife said, these kids are missing. The police are wanting to know information. If you're out there, anything you can provide. He goes down. He voluntarily gives information, says, hey, I was there that day. How can I help? Gives anything he knows. They lose his information in the shuffle for several years.
Yeah, for a long time.
After the other alternative suspects, the ones that have a lot of solid evidence on them, are either locked up for other crimes or dead, there's still a lot of, you know, vitriol in this city. They need to find the killer. At least the villagers with pitchforks want that to be done. And I understand. The family would want that to be done, too. I think your killer's dead, but okay. So they eventually, somebody who's volunteering their time at the office comes across this old note, this man who didn't make any sort of confession. He just said, hey, I was there. Here's, you know, what I saw that day. How can I help? And suddenly this comes back as a big lead. Basically, they had nothing else. And then they start trying to railroad Richard Allen into confessing that he killed these kids. So initially, right off the bat, he raised his hand. He wanted to help. How many killers are going to go volunteer to give you information on the scene that they murdered two children at, or even let you know that they were there if they did it? So let's put that one into perspective right off the bat. That's what happened.
It seemed to me like at that time when that tip, it was rediscovered since it was
missing. Yeah, because they lost it because they're so good at investigating stuff.
And I'm going to guess they had a lot of tips, but that one would have been huge.
His tip was really not amazing or anything. He had nothing to give.
No, not at the time.
Yeah.
But then the way they presented it years later was like, aha, this is it.
But it really meant it still was about as unsexy and informative and unrelated to the case, I think, as you can really get. He was there. That's it. Okay. There's a lot of people that were there at that moment in time. There's not a ton that really holds up in that part of it. If you listen to what we've just laid out, you can already feel the wobble under your feet. And here's the thing. In a case like this, the state doesn't need to prove beyond a cosmic doubt. They just need for 12 people to nod in unison, but enough. And the truth aren't always the same thing. The bullet, it's not DNA. That's not an eyewitness. That's a piece of metal that somehow sat in evidence for years without being tied to anyone. And then only after Allen's gun was in custody, suddenly has the magic markings to make it relevant. In the real world, that's the stuff that gets you side-eyed, not celebrated. The video, you can pause it, you can blow it up, you can run it through every filter in Photoshop. You still can't get past the fact that Bridge Guy could be 10,000 different men. Or Ron Logan, who seems to have the outfit and was interviewed by people just after. There's that. And when you start playing with the audio, moving it around to fit a darker narrative like investigators did, that's not evidence. That's tampering with evidence, and it's called storytelling. And the confession, If you've ever been trapped in a bad conversation for 20 minutes, you know how desperate you are to say anything to get out of it. Now imagine more than a year in solitary confinement, eating your own feces, and between bites, giving that confession. How reliable that must be. It's the end of a very deliberate breaking process. So if this is the skeleton the state built its case on, it's one you're still going, that's solid. I question your judgment. I question your sanity, actually. How much meat is actually on these bones? And how much of it was padded with whatever scraps they could dig up just to get a conviction? Because here's the ugly truth in this whole case. Once the public sees an arrest, they think the story's over. But the real question is, did they get the right person? Or just the most convenient one? And in Delphi, convenience seems to have been in short supply until Richard Allen raised his hand. And that's why we're telling his story. That's why we're digging deep into this. That's why we're asking you to have your voice be heard too. And you can have your voice heard. It's a story that starts with a twist because there were other names in the file, other men with darker history, stranger connections, and proximity to the crime scene that makes Allen's present look downright mundane. We're going to continue on with this conversation. In part two, we're going to walk into the shadow of one of those men, a man whose property became the crime scene, whose alibi doesn't hold water, and whose name the jury never even heard, Ron Logan. That's coming up. Press subscribe so you don't miss that conversation right here on the Hidden Killers podcast. So hit subscribe on YouTube if that's where you are. If you're watching us on the podcast platforms, hit it there. And please, on YouTube, tell me your thoughts in the comment section. And I'm sorry, just like, he confessed. Save it. He was in solitary confinement for a year. Eating his poop, running headfirst into walls, being tormented by Odinists. You'd probably confess to being a space alien if you were in those sort of conditions. So, yeah. Confessions between bites of poop? Gonna say not holding up. Not holding up in the reality sane sector of my brain anyway. Tell me your thoughts. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.